Please turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, we want to read the first four verses. Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 1 and reading down through verse 4. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Many years ago, I had an opportunity to study the book of Romans in a class that was taught in Jacksonville. And the theme of the book of Romans, as I was taught, is that we are justified by faith in Christ. Now, this is a deep letter, and it contains some valuable information that relates to Christianity. But that is the overall theme of the book of Romans. We are justified by faith in Christ. But I want you to notice that at the beginning of this letter, the Apostle Paul made a statement that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. The Bible provides a tremendous amount of evidence that proves Jesus is the Son of God. We're able to study Old Testament prophecies and see how Jesus fulfilled them. We're able to read about the Lord's great works, and they prove that he's the Son of God with power. But in these verses, the final bit of evidence that proves that Jesus is the Son of God is revealed to us. Jesus was proven to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. If someone cannot be convinced by Old Testament prophecy, if someone cannot be convinced by the great works that Jesus performed, then this final bit of evidence proves once and for all, whether someone accepts that proof or not, that Jesus truly is the Son of God. Now in the Bible, we read about a number of people who were raised from the dead. But the Lord's resurrection is unique. You see, these other people who were brought back to life still had to face death again. Not so with our Lord. He was raised once for our justification, as we pointed out this morning. Well, in our lesson, we want to concentrate for a little while on the fact that our Lord's resurrection proves that he is God's Son. I believe that's one reason why we need to study what the Bible teaches concerning the resurrection, because it helps to reinforce our faith in Christ as the Son of God. I believe that we need to study carefully the great works that Jesus performed. They reinforce our faith that Jesus is the Son of God. Likewise, we need to study the Old Testament prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. They reinforce our faith that Jesus is the Son of God. But for a little while this evening, we want to concentrate on the fact that our Lord's resurrection proves that he is God's beloved Son. Let's begin by showing that the Lord's resurrection is recorded in all four gospel accounts. It's going to take a few moments, but we want to read from each of the four gospels. Let's begin with Matthew. Let's turn to chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, we will begin at verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. You will notice that all four gospel accounts complement one another. They do not contradict each other in any way. They all supply details so that we can see the full picture. But notice the time is revealed. It was the first day of the week, very early in the morning. There were some ladies who came to the tomb. You see, Jesus was buried late on Friday evening as the Sabbath was approaching. The Sabbath was a day of rest. It's my understanding that the Jewish people had their own burial customs. When someone died, the body was normally buried that their very day. There wasn't a long time. The Jews basically did not practice embalming. Now, they would prepare the body with various spices and ointments, but then they would go through a period of mourning. Now, we have our own burial customs today, which are changing rapidly, but keep in mind that that was the basic burial custom of the Jewish people at that particular time. So these ladies came to prepare the Lord's body because they did not have time when the body was buried. But when they got there, that tomb was empty. Let's turn to Mark's account, Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, let's begin at verse 1. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering to the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Let's turn to Luke's account, Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, we'll begin at verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Now let's read John's account, John chapter 20. John chapter 20, we will begin reading at verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin which was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Now these are the four inspired accounts of the Lord's resurrection from the grave. If we study them carefully, all the details that we need to know are revealed in them. Now there are additional passages in the Bible that deal with this very important subject, for these are the actual inspired accounts of what took place. Now having read these inspired accounts of the Lord's resurrection, let's turn our attention to some additional matters that relate to this very important subject. Remember, we're showing that the Lord's resurrection proves that he is the Son of God. There can be no doubt from the gospel accounts that the Lord was raised from the dead. But as we consider some additional matters that are revealed, we see that there was an attempt made to prevent the possibility of the Lord's resurrection from taking place. Matthew tells us about that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27. Let's begin at verse 62. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, After 3 days I will rise again. Now here we have some of the religious leaders remembering what Jesus had said. Now they refer to Jesus as a deceiver. But they remembered what he said. Oh, they were usually present when Jesus was teaching. Most of them did not have proper motives. Many times they were looking for something that could be used against him. But here they actually referred to our Savior as a deceiver. But they remembered that he said, After 3 days, I will rise again. They did not want the resurrection to take place. Verse 64, Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. I think it's interesting that Matthew includes this detail. It's not found in the other accounts. There were some people who were concerned that Maybe the Lord's disciples would come by night and take the Lord's body and claim that he was raised from the dead. They said, we can't have that taking place. So they asked Pilate the governor to make sure that the tomb was sealed and that there was a watch. Pilate granted that. So was there any possibility of someone coming to the tomb and removing the Lord's body? No, there was not. At least from a man's perspective. That tomb was sealed and a watch was set. Well, we've already read where Jesus arose from the grave. Well, then there was a cover-up attempt. Let's look at Matthew chapter 28 and start at verse 11. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Well, Jesus was resurrected from the grave, and then there was an attempt made to cover it up. Again, the religious leaders were involved, and they gave money to the soldiers who were on guard, and they told them what to say. They told the soldiers to say that the Lord's followers came by night and took away the body. And that all happened while we were asleep. I have read about the punishment that would have been given to the Roman soldiers if they were caught sleeping on duty. It would have been very severe. No doubt the soldiers were concerned about that, so then the religious leader said, well, we'll take care of that issue. We'll talk to Pilate on your behalf. This was a cover-up, trying to explain away that Jesus was raised from the dead. Now, when Jesus arose from the grave, what did he prove once and for all? That he truly is the Son of God. These people were so blind that they would not accept that. They were burned in their hatred of the Lord. They were burned in their hatred toward his way. And they were not going to see his followers grow and become a mighty kingdom. Well, the Jewish leaders bribed the soldiers who were guarding the tomb. And I think it's interesting that Matthew says this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. In other words, that rumor was still going around when Matthew wrote his gospel. Matthew was a Jew. He had been a tax collector. He no doubt had associations with many Jewish people. He knew what the common people were saying, and that rumor was spreading around for quite a while. There was one problem with it. It was false. Jesus had been raised from the dead. Well, despite those efforts to prevent the Lord's resurrection, and despite this effort to discredit the Lord's resurrection, there were many people who saw him after he was raised. Now, these people are what we call eyewitnesses. They actually saw the Lord after he was risen from the grave. Now, this is not a complete list. I thought very seriously about taking the time to go through and make a list of all the people who actually saw the Lord. But I decided to take this particular approach. We're not giving a complete list of all the witnesses who saw Jesus, but I think we'll be looking at enough to make the point. We know that what we just read from Matthew's account about the attempt to prevent the Lord's resurrection from occurring, and then that attempt to cover it up after it took place, they didn't come to pass. All of that was false information. But we know that Jesus arose from the grave because there were many witnesses who saw him. Let's look at a few. Let's go to Mark chapter 16 for a moment. And we want to point out that Jesus first appeared to Mary Magdalene. Mark chapter 16. We want to read a few verses from Mark's account, and then we'll look at some additional details in the Gospel of John. Now, it's regretful to me that people try to make something immoral concerning the relationship that existed between Jesus and Mary Magdalene. I become very upset when I read such nonsense. Mary loved Jesus. Jesus loved Mary. But not in an immoral sense. They did not have an affair, and they did not have an illegitimate child. Now, there have been all kinds of reports spread about Jesus and Mary Magdalene. Basically, what we know is that Jesus cast 7 demons out of this woman. Now, a number of years ago, I did a little bit of study on demon possession. And you can read about how one person suffered as a result of having one demon. Do you remember the man who had a child who was afflicted with a demon? Sometimes he would cast himself into the fire. Sometimes he would cast himself into the water. You can just imagine the misery of that son. What about the misery of the father as he watched his boy tormented by that demon? That was just one demon. And we can read about other things that were suffered as a result of demon possession. Mary had 7 demons. After Jesus cast those 7 demons out, can you begin to appreciate why she loved the Lord so? She was a devoted follower of Christ. And she was present at the cross when Jesus was crucified. No doubt she was offering comfort to the Lord's mother. She was right there with her. Well, Mary was the first one to see Jesus after he arose from the grave. Mark 16, verse 9 through 11. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. Mary gave that good news that Jesus was alive. They did not believe her. Let's look at a more detailed account in John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Let's begin at verse 11. We've already read down through verse 10 where John tells us about the Lord's resurrection. Let's continue at verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth 2 angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I knew not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Mary was the first person to see the Lord after he was raised from the grave. Let's turn to Luke chapter 24 and read about another appearance of our Lord. Luke chapter 24. Let's start at verse 13. Jesus appeared to Cleopas and a companion. Luke 24, verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the thing concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he came and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Here we have people seeing the Lord the very day he was resurrected from the grave. Let's look at the book of Acts. We want to look at the first three verses of chapter 1. These verses show us that Jesus appeared to the apostles numerous times during the 40-day period that followed his resurrection. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now notice this. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Jesus appeared to the apostles numerous times during the 40-day period that followed his resurrection. And I want you to notice that Luke uses the expression many infallible proofs. In other words, there was an abundance of evidence to show that Jesus had been resurrected from the grave. Now let's read just a few other verses. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll read a few verses beginning at verse 5. Actually, let's back up to verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen. Many years ago, I heard a preacher preach a sermon on the fact that he was seen, based on what's said at the beginning of verse 5. In other words, not only was Jesus raised according to the Scriptures, we pointed out from Isaiah 53 and Psalm 16 that the Old Testament Scriptures prophesied that Jesus would be raised from the grave. So he was raised a third day according to the Scriptures, but in addition to that, he was seen. In other words, there were many people who saw Jesus in his resurrected state. Let's read about a few of them. He was seen of Cephas, and that's the other name for Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. When Paul wrote this letter, he mentioned the fact that the Lord appeared before over 500 brethren at one time. Now, those people could be consulted because the majority were still alive. Now, some had passed away, but there were many still alive, and they could be consulted to determine whether this was accurate. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Well, the evidence is clear. Jesus was resurrected from the grave. There's something else that's made clear from that. Jesus is God's divine Son. The Old Testament Scriptures prophesied many times concerning our Lord, and when we see that Jesus fulfilled those prophecies, that serves as evidence to prove to us that Jesus is the Son of God. We're able to read about the Lord's great works. And John tells us in chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, that he recorded certain signs of the Lord to serve as evidence to prove to us that he is the Son of God. We have the Lord's works to prove to us that he is God's Son. By the way, we have the testimony of God Almighty from heaven. When Jesus was baptized, he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Then when Jesus was transfigured, God said once again, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." I didn't even mention what God said concerning the identity of his Son. But we need to consider that. But today we've been concentrating on the fact that Jesus was resurrected from the grave. And that proves once and for all, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he truly is the Son of God. Well, we have seen that the Lord's resurrection reflects the value of our souls, and we have seen that the Lord's resurrection proves that he truly is the Son of God. Well, we need to listen to him. We need to be his faithful followers, because one day he's coming back. That will be the greatest day of all. Now, the Scriptures teach, and we certainly believe, that the day Jesus arose from the grave was a mighty special day. We know that the Lord was resurrected on the first day of the week. We need to remember that great event every first day of the week. But there's another great day that we're looking forward to, and that is the day when he returns. That will be the greatest day of all. If you'd like to respond to the invitation, we invite you to do so as we stand to sing the first verse of the song that's been selected.